Stonebreaker kept a member of the gang named Lucas Martin with him. Martin was their blaster, a former miner, and an expert at handling dynamite. He'd be able to blow the door off the vault in the bank without wrecking the whole place. Two more men went with him to serve as guards while Stonebreaker and Martin took care of getting to the money. The rest of the gang spread out. They would enter Big Rock by ones and twos, getting into position to terrorize the townspeople, then waiting for Stonebreaker's signal to launch the attack. The four of them, Stonebreaker, Martin, Dave Ritter, and Amos Green, rode openly down Big Rock's main street toward the bank. The town was settling down for the night, but quite a few people were still out and about. Stonebreaker knew he was a striking figure, so he wasn't surprised when some of the locals stared at him. He didn't let that bother him. Unlike some outlaws, he never tried to conceal his identity. He took pride in his hard-earned reputation as a bad man. When they reached the bank, they dismounted. Martin took his saddlebags filled with dynamite from his horse and slung them over his shoulder. With Ritter and Green leading the way, they started down the dark alley beside the bank. Stonebreaker turned to follow his men into the shadows.
Hey, mister, wait a minute.
Stonebreaker stopped and looked to his right. A man hurried along the boardwalk toward him. As he passed a lighted window, the glow reflected off the badge pinned to his shirt, telling Stonebreaker it was one of the deputies. Martin and the others had paused. Stonebreaker waved him on as he turned to face the lawman.
What can I do for you?
The deputy came to a stop a few feet away, with his hand resting on the butt of his gun.
Well, I saw you fellas riding into town just now. No offense, but I like to keep track of strangers, especially when they come into Big Rock after dark.
You think we might be up to no good, is that it?
Well, like I said, no offense, but you hombres look like you still got plenty of bark left on you.
Indeed we do, deputy.
Hey, how'd you know I'm a deputy and not the sheriff?
Stonebreaker's arm shot out with blinding speed for such a big man. His right hand clamped around the deputy's neck to choke off an outcry, while his left grabbed hold of the man's wrist to keep him from drawing his gun. Jerking the deputy closer to him to get better leverage, Stonebreaker twisted hard on the unfortunate lawman's neck. The deputy went limp in his grasp. Stonebreaker slung the dead man into the alley like a sack of garbage and followed Martin and the other two outlaws. Green broke the lock, pushed the door open, and the four men went inside. Stonebreaker struck a match, cupping the flame in his hand so that it couldn't be seen easily through the front windows. It provided just enough light for them to find the vault. Martin worked quickly, taking a couple of sticks of dynamite from his saddlebags and attaching them with paste to the vault door hinges. He stuck another stick of dynamite to the lock mechanism the same way. It took him only moments to put caps and fuses on the explosives. After the blast, the doors ought to fall forward, allowing them into the big safe. The explosions would signal the rest of the gang to launch their raid. Stonebreaker slipped a pocket watch from his vest and opened it to check the time.
Burke and the others should be done by now.
He snapped the watch closed and looked at Martin.
So are we. Light 'em up, Oliver.
Light 'em up.
Martin struck a match openly and held the flame to each of the three fuses in turn, moving quickly.
Oh, let's get out of here.
Martin and the rest headed toward the back door. They would wait in the alley while the vault door blew, then rush back in and start shoveling cash and gold coins into the sacks they had brought along to fill. Stonebreaker let the other three go ahead of him. He lingered for a second, watching in satisfaction as the fuses burned toward the dynamite. That part of the operation went smooth. Stonebreaker jerked his head up.
Jensen.